Imagine you are 45 minutes into the final round interview for your dream AI engineering job. The small talk is totally over.
Yeah, the behavioral questions are done, the pressure is on.
Exactly. And the interviewer shares their screen, opens a blank text editor, and pastes like four simple characters: an open parenthesis, an open square bracket, a closed parenthesis, and a closed square bracket.
Just looking at it, your brain instantly, instinctively knows it's structurally wrong.
Right. I mean, you wouldn't write a math equation that way, but translating that human intuition into flawless optimized code in under 10 minutes.
While someone watches you type.
Yes. While they watch every keystroke, that is where dreams go to die.
It's the ultimate psychological trap, honestly. When you sit in a technical evaluation, staring at a shared coding screen, the sheer simplicity of those brackets works against you.
Because it's just basic punctuation, right?
Exactly. Validating punctuation is something our brains do automatically. So when a candidate sees it, they assume the solution should be equally automatic and they just, they rush.
Well, welcome to today's deep dive. If you are prepping for a software engineering role or, an AI engineering position where you're working heavily with Python and data pipelines, you definitely know this staple.
Oh, yeah. Leet code number 20, valid parentheses.
We are tearing this problem down to the studs today. And to be clear, the mission isn't just to, memorize a snippet of code.
Right, because that won't help you when the interviewer tweaks the parameters.
Exactly. We are going to deconstruct how interviewers evaluate your problem-solving skills under pressure using a structured six-step mental framework. We want to understand the mechanics, the pitfalls, and the hidden tests buried inside this deceptively simple prompt.
Because an interview isn't just about whether your code eventually compiles. I mean, it's a window into how you organize your
Do
thoughts.
you clarify assumptions?
Do you choose the right data structures for the right reasons? Can you break your own code before it hits production? That's what this challenge actually measures.
So let's start with the trap itself. Phase one, understanding the problem. The prompt gives us a string containing only parentheses, curly brackets, and square brackets.
Just those characters?
Right. And we need to determine if it's valid. The rules seem really straightforward. Open brackets must be closed by the exact same type of bracket.
And they have to be closed in the correct order.
So an open parenthesis followed by a closed parenthesis is valid, but an open parenthesis followed by a closed square bracket is invalid.
Sounds easy enough.
It does. But I have to be honest, my first instinct here, if I'm nervous, isn't to overthink the structure. I just want to count them.
The counting method.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if I have three left parentheses and three right parentheses, the math works out. Why wouldn't I just, set up a few counter variables?
You've just walked into the most common trap interviewers see in the first 5 minutes.
Totally.
Yeah, it feels logical, right? Count open equals count close. The problem is that counting completely ignores that second rule you mentioned, the order of closure. Let's go back to that four-character string you mentioned in the intro. Open parenthesis, open square bracket, close parenthesis, closed square bracket.
Okay, so if I run my counting logic on that string, I find one open parenthesis and one closed. That's a match. I find one open square bracket and one closed square bracket. Match. My counters balance perfectly. The code returns true.
But structurally, it is a complete failure. The brackets interlock incorrectly.
Because they overlap.
Exactly. You are trying to close the outer parenthesis before you've closed the inner square bracket nested inside of it. The counting method fundamentally fails because counting only tracks quantity.
Not history or structural dependency.
Precisely.
It's like packing boxes for a move. You have a large shipping box and you place a smaller shoe box inside of it.
All right, you can't tape the large one shut first.
Exactly. You absolutely cannot seal that outer box if the smaller shoe box inside hasn't been closed. You have to finish what you started most recently.
That realization that the most recently opened bracket must be the very first one closed is the conceptual key to the entire problem.
Because standard counting variables don't possess a concept of recency.
No, they don't. Once you recognize that the problem demands a mechanism that inherently understands history and order of operations, well, you know you need a specific tool.
Which brings up a debate for phase two, finding the right mechanism. Because my instinct here, especially working in Python and cleaning up text data for machine learning models, is to just use a regular expression.
Oh, interviewers actually love when candidates propose that.
Wait, really? Because if the goal is to resolve matching pairs, why can't I just run a while loop that finds any adjacent matching pair, like an open and close parenthesis right next to each other, and just deletes them?
Just find and replace.
Yeah. I keep finding and replacing pairs until the string is completely empty. It's empty at the end. It was valid.
It opens up a crucial conversation about system resources. Because conceptually, the rejects find and replace works. But mechanically, it destroys your time complexity.
How so? Strings are pretty lightweight, aren't they?
In many languages, including Python, strings are immutable. You can't just, you know, delete a character from the middle of a string.
Oh, right. It has to make a whole new copy.
Exactly. When your rejects finds a pair and deletes it, the system is actually creating a brand new string in memory and copying over all the remaining characters.
Wow.
So if you have a string of 10,000 nested brackets, you are creating a new 9,998 character string. Then a new string that's two characters shorter than that, over and over.
So you've taken a simple task and turned it into an operation where the processing time increases exponentially as the string gets longer.
It works on a whiteboard, but it crashes the server in production.
Okay, so regex is definitely out. We need a tool that handles that most recent first logic without rewriting the whole string every time.
The undisputed champion for this is the stack.
Okay, the stack.
It's a fundamental data structure operating on a strict LIFO principle. Last in, first out.
LIFO. So think about the undo shortcut in your code editor, C-Shirel-Z.
That's a perfect example.
When you hit undo, it doesn't erase the first typo you made 3 hours ago. It undoes the very last keystroke you made. The most recent action is the first one reversed.
That maps perfectly to our structural requirements. So the plan becomes incredibly elegant for phase three. We iterate through the input string, character by character.
Okay.
If the character is any kind of open bracket, we push it onto the top of our stack. We're effectively logging a memory, like, I've opened this and I'm waiting to close it.
So open brackets go on the stack. But what happens when the loop encounters a closed bracket?
We immediately look at the top of the stack. We pop the most recently added open bracket off the top and compare them.
So does this closed curly brace match the open curly brace I just pulled off the stack?
Yes. If yes, the inner box is sealed. We discard both and move to the next character in the string.
And if they don't match?
The string is instantly invalid. You return false.
Let me push back on the terminology here just a bit. Because if I'm writing this in Python, there is no built-in stack object that I have to import.
Right, there isn't.
I'm just going to use a standard Python list and use .append to add to the end and .pop to remove from the end. It does the exact same thing. Why do interviewers care if I formally define it as a stack?
It's about communicating conceptual discipline. You are correct that under the hood, a stack is usually implemented using a dynamic array or a list.
Right.
But an array allows random access. In a raw list, you can look at index 0, you can delete index 5, you can modify the middle.
Which we don't want to do here.
Exactly. When you explicitly state, I am treating this list strictly as a stack, you are deliberately restricting yourself to LIFO operations.
So I'm putting guardrails on my own code so I don't accidentally introduce a bug later?
Yes, because if you just call it a list, and 6 months from now, a junior developer tries to optimize it by calling .pop 0 to remove the first element instead of the last.
Well, they shift the entire array in memory.
And suddenly, your efficient algorithm is bottlenecked. Treating it strictly as a stack guarantees you only ever interact with the most recently opened bracket.
That distinction alone feels like it would bump you up a grade in an interview.
It definitely does.
So we have our mental blueprint. We understand the requirement. We bypass the rejects trap, and we've committed to a stack. Now, for phase four, we have to actually write it. And this is where I see a lot of clean whiteboard diagrams turn into an absolute mess of code.
Oh, completely. Because human beings naturally think linearly.
Yeah.
When novice candidates start translating this logic into code, their instinct is to manually map out every single possible scenario using a massive nested chain of if-else statements.
Oh, man. I've written this exact code before.
We all have.
It's like, if the current character is a closed curly brace, and if the top of the stack is an open curly brace, then pop. Else, if the current character is a closed square bracket and the top of the stack is an open square bracket, then pop. It just goes on and on.
It creates a wall of text. It's difficult to read, highly susceptible to typos, and frankly, it signals to the interviewer that you don't know how to abstract your logic.
There's a much better way to handle this.
Right.
And it involves changing how we think about matching entirely.
Yes.
Instead of writing a bunch of conditional questions, we should use a hash map. Or, in Python terms, a dictionary. It feels like setting up a lookup table.
That is the pro move that separates average candidates from great ones. You pull the matching logic completely out of your main loop.
Okay, so how does that look?
You define a dictionary where every closing bracket is a key and its corresponding opening bracket is the value.
Got it. So the closed parenthesis maps to the open parenthesis. The closed square bracket maps to the open square bracket.
Exactly.
It reminds me of a bouncer at a club holding a VIP guest list on a clipboard.
Okay, I like that.
The if-else chain is like a bouncer interrogating every single person in line with 20 different questions. Are you with the DJ? Are you the promoter's friend? Did you buy a table? It takes forever. The hash map approach is the bouncer just checking the clipboard once. What ticket are you holding? Okay, let me check the dictionary. Yes, you have the matching ticket. You're good to go in.
That's a highly accurate visualization. Hash maps provide instantaneous O of one lookups.
So fast.
When your loop hits a closed bracket, you don't run through a gauntlet of if statements. You just query the dictionary. What is the required open bracket for this key?
The dictionary returns the answer instantly.
You compare it to the character you just popped off the stack, and you move on. Your core algorithm shrinks from 20 lines of messy conditions down to about 4 elegant, highly readable lines.
You trade complex conditional logic for a simple data query. I love that.
It's very clean.
But even the cleanest, most elegant dictionary lookup will completely crash if you haven't anticipated the weird, unexpected inputs. And interviewers love to throw weird inputs at you.
Oh, they do, which is where we shift to phase 5. You have your implementation, but now you must review it and actively hunt for edge cases. For a candidate, this is highly psychological.
It really is, because your adrenaline is pumping. You finally got the core algorithm working on the screen, the happy path executes perfectly, and your brain is screaming at you to declare victory and stop typing.
Just walk away from the keyboard.
Exactly. You want to celebrate. But this is the exact moment you have to switch your mindset from creator to hacker. You have to actively try to break your own work before the interviewer does.
Because if the interviewer has to point out a glaring edge case, it's a yellow flag. Finding your own bugs, though, is a massive green flag.
Let's apply that hacker mindset to our stack implementation, then. What happens if the interviewer inputs a string that starts immediately with a closing bracket, like just a single closed square bracket?
Okay, let's trace it. The loop grabs the first character. It's a closed bracket.
According to our logic, it's not an open bracket, so we don't push it onto the stack.
Right. Instead, we query our dictionary to see what we need to match it against, and then we try to pop the top element off the stack to compare them.
But there's nothing on the stack. It's completely empty.
And in almost every programming language, trying to dot pop an item from an empty stack will throw an exception and crash your program entirely.
Yikes. So you can't just blindly pop.
No. Your code needs an explicit safety check.
Yeah.
If you encounter a closing bracket, but the stack is empty, it means there is no previously open bracket to match it with.
The string is instantly invalid. Return false immediately.
Exactly.
Good catch. Okay, let me throw another one at you. What if the string is just 3 open parentheses in a row?
Let's trace the execution step by step again. The loop starts. First character is an open parenthesis. We push it to the stack.
Second character, open parenthesis, push it to the stack.
Third character, open parenthesis, push. The string ends. The for loop finishes.
The loop finishes completely silently. No errors were thrown. It never encountered a closing bracket, so it never tried to pop from an empty stack.
Right.
If I just have return true at the very bottom of my function, the program is going to say, this string is valid.
Which is completely wrong. It survived the loop, but look at the memory. The stack isn't empty.
It still has 3 unmatched open brackets sitting there.
Waiting for a closure that will never arrive.
That is incredibly sneaky. So checking the condition at the very end is just as important as the loop itself.
Absolutely.
Your final return statement can't just be return true. It has to evaluate the state of the stack. You return true only if the length of the stack is exactly 0.
Return length of stack equals 0. It's the ultimate proof that every single box that was opened was eventually closed.
So once you've sealed those edge cases, the empty stack crash, the leftover open brackets, and you've proven you possess that hacker mindset, you face the final hurdle of the interview, phase 6.
The scorecard. Evaluating the complexity using Big O notation.
For anyone rusty on the theory, Big O notation is just a standardized way of measuring the rate at which our algorithm's resource needs scale up as the input grows larger.
Right. We evaluate time complexity, which is how much longer it takes,
yeah,
and space complexity, how much more memory it eats.
Let's break down the time complexity first. In our optimized stack and dictionary solution, the time complexity is O of n, where n is the number of characters in the string.
Because we only need to traverse the input string exactly once.
Right. We look at the first bracket, we either push it to the stack or pop a match, which are both instantaneous, constant time operations.
Then we move to the second bracket. We never loop backward.
So if the string is 10 times longer, it takes exactly 10 times as long. Linear scaling, O of n.
Precisely. Now, for the space complexity, the memory footprint. The space complexity is also O of n.
Now, this is where I want to challenge the premise, because interviewers always push you to optimize memory.
They do love to push.
They look at your O of n space and ask, can we do better? Can we get this down to O of one constant space? Meaning, can we solve this without our memory footprint growing at all, regardless of how long the string is?
Like maybe by just using a couple of index pointers instead of storing a massive stack.
Exactly. Is that possible?
That is a classic interviewer pressure test. Yeah. They want to see if you blindly agree to optimize or if you actually understand the theoretical mathematical limits of the data structure.
And the answer?
The answer to their question is a firm no. You cannot achieve O of one space for this problem.
Why not?
Because of the nested nature of the problem. You absolutely must retain a memory of the previous unclosed brackets because you have no idea when their corresponding closing bracket is going to appear.
Right. It could be the very next character, or it could be nested a million characters deep.
Exactly. Think about the absolute worst case scenario to prove the point. What if the interviewer gives you a string made entirely of opening brackets?
A million open brackets in a row.
Every single one of those million characters has to be pushed onto the stack.
Yeah.
Because none of them have been resolved yet.
Your stack grows directly in proportion to the input size.
The memory you allocate is proportional to n. Therefore, the space complexity must be O of n.
So confidently explaining to your interviewer why O of n space is a physical requirement of the problem shows far more mastery than scrambling to invent a magical O of one trick that doesn't exist.
It proves you own the solution. You aren't just reciting a script you memorized online. You actually understand the fundamental physics of the data structures you are wielding.
That depth of understanding is exactly what turns a standard technical screening into a job offer.
100%.
Well, this has been incredibly revealing. Let's summarize our core takeaways for you listening. Leap code number 20, valid parentheses. It isn't really about brackets at all, is it?
No, nobody actually cares if you can write a script to match a squiggly line to another squiggly line.
The problem is a proxy. It's a proxy for testing your structural thinking. It tests whether you recognize when linear approaches fail.
It tests your edge case awareness and whether you have the discipline to break your own code.
And above all, it tests your ability to communicate complex logic systematically, using that six-step conceptual framework we just walked through.
Right. Understand the trap. Match the requirement to a mechanism like a stack, plan the LIFO execution, implement it elegantly with a hash map, review it with a hacker mindset to catch edge cases.
And finally, evaluate the big O complexity with confidence.
Mastering this framework takes the panic out of the process.
It really does. By breaking a vague problem down into these distinct, predictable steps, you transform what feels like a high-pressure interrogation into a collaborative, manageable conversation with your interviewer.
It gives you a reliable roadmap. When your mind inevitably goes blank under the pressure of the clock, if you know what phase of the problem you are currently in, you always know what the very next step has to be.
We've successfully matched all our open and closed brackets today, but you know, I want to leave you with a broader concept to ponder, completely outside the realm of code or job interviews.
Oh, I like where this is going.
If a strict LIFO stack, last in, first out, is the perfect, most elegant mechanism for ensuring complex code syntax resolves perfectly without leaving anything hanging, how much of our own daily lives could be mentally debugged if we apply that exact same rule?
That's a great question.
Think about your to-do lists. Think about the 30 open browser tabs you have running right now, the half-finished project sitting on your desk. What would happen to our focus and our mental memory allocation if we rigorously forced ourselves to completely close out one task before we ever allowed ourselves to open another?